Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 158. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey, what's up?
And we apologize, we took a week off, but we have a jam-packed episode tonight. We're going to try to keep it to the usual length, but we have a lot of films to get through, so we're going to get right to it. And instead of starting with like the big new films, I figured I'd change it up. And talk about a couple films I rewatched recently. Every episode we do, I typically have like one or two rewatches, and we never get to it because we run out of time. So I'm throwing them at the top. Chris, I rewatched Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
Have you watched that again since the first time?
I have not.
Okay. It's on, like, if you got HBO, I think you can watch it. I think that's how I watched it.
I think I own it. I think I did buy it. I don't think I've watched it though since.
I think it might be actually worse than I remember it.
Okay.
it's like I remember it being like trying to mix Alien and Prometheus and like not doing a like really great job of it.
Right.
But like what struck me the second time I watched it is actually how little, because I remember it being more of like a standard horror movie than Prometheus was. And it's like how little of that alien action is in it. That movie like pauses in the middle of it for like a half hour stretch for David to explain to you what is going on.
Yeah. His experiments and shit. And it grinds that film to a halt.
Yeah. I didn't remember it like that. I just remember the whole thing feeling like uneven and like, just being okay. And like on the rewatch, I was just like, wow, there's not enough of the goddamn alien. It's all David's fucking, you know, Prometheus story. Like it really is a strong Prometheus sequel. And like to the point where it's like, I think it would make no sense to someone who never saw Prometheus. So that's my thoughts on rewatching it. I think I gave it a 3 the first time we reviewed it. Maybe, I don't know.
Sounds right.
Yeah, but like I liked it less. Other movie I rewatched was Pan's Labyrinth, kind of, you know, in the wake of Del Toro winning pretty big at the Oscars with Best Picture.
Yeah.
My girlfriend loved The Shape of Water, so I'm like, you have to see his best movie, at least in my opinion, Pan's Labyrinth. And I have not seen that movie since it came out in like 2006. And I'm very pleased to say that movie holds up really well. Like, there's a few, like, CGI effects that, like, look kind of bad now.
Right.
But the whole movie is so good. Like, it's like a masterpiece, dude, I think. Like, just everything about it. And, like, unlike Shape of Water, shit fucking goes down in Pan's Labyrinth. Like, there is a high body count in that movie. And just a really great villain. I'm sure you probably haven't seen it in a long time, right?
Yeah, it's probably been just as long as you had.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, if you remember it being great, trust me, it's as great. It's worth a rewatch. And when you look at, like, Shape of Water, like, a lot of things, like, just the music, the whole fairy tale thing, you know, like, it's like, it feels like in Shape of Water, he's, like, retreading shit, but it's like nowhere near as potent as what's in Pan's Labyrinth. Highly recommend people to go check that out again, or like if you have not seen it, fix that.
Yeah.
So those are a couple movies I rewatched this week, but nice. Now we have a whole shitload of stuff that's pretty recent to get into. And we're going to start it off with a movie that we both got to see in the theater recently. It might still be in the theater by the time you hear this.
Maybe.
That is The Strangers Pray at Night.
Yeah.
I have not pulled up the IMDb on this movie. But basically, it's a sequel to The Strangers, which came out, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, 2008, I believe, the original Strangers, which starred Scott Speedman and Liv Tyler.
Yeah, and it's weird, like, it was a decently well-regarded, like, home invasion movie back in 2008, but, like, yeah. Why 10 years later It just seems weird, like, why 10 years later there's a sequel.
Yeah, but well, with very little like tie, right? Like
It's just
outside
the same
of,
bad guys.
yeah. Which, I mean, yeah, they're just people that wear masks.
Yeah. So basically, like, in this one, the torture enthusiasts are back and they're preying on this family who is like spending the night at this like abandoned trailer park. I don't know if it's abandoned or everyone's
It's
been
like closed
killed.
down for the. It's like a like a lakefront trailer park, and I guess it's closed down for the season. Like it's after Labor Day, and what was it? Her uncle, the mom's uncle, like runs the trailer park or something.
Yeah, and I think they like find him dead pretty early on. Spoilers, whatever. They're spending the night in this trailer park, and the strangers come, and you get a like I think somewhat underrated, really really short, and that's a huge plus for me. Little horror movie. Like I don't think this is nearly as bad as it's. Like Rotten Tomatoes score or some of the stuff I've seen people say about it. I think it's maybe pretty standard. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. I saw you were not, I think you were probably less enthusiastic about it than me. So like what did you think?
It just kind of exists. It's a okay slasher film. There's a couple really decent scares in it. Good soundtrack, but I mean it's like the body count is real low. The kills are
Yeah.
not very like they're not very like original.
Creative or
Yeah,
anything. Yeah,
they're
there's
just
not
like
much.
kind of like stabby stab
Yeah, you
like.
got stabbed. Yeah.
Yes, I mean it's fine. Like, I do think like there's a great scene in like this little tunnel,
Yeah,
that
which
it,
is spoiled in the trailer.
yeah,
It's
but
still
it's,
got me, though. That's the thing. It's
oh,
like
it's
I remember it from the trailer,
great.
and I still did not see it coming when it happened.
But yeah, it's like I mean the villains are, they're kind of just people that wear masks. There's no, and you don't need like in a slasher film, you don't really need like motivation for them, but. Just like they're just, they really are just humans that are bad people.
Yeah, I think that I think that's intentional, like to this series. I think in the first one they get asked why they're doing what they're doing, and they're like, because you were home. And then this one, I think they get asked the same question, and the girl goes, I think she just says, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, like so it's like
It's like, why are you
that's
doing this? Why not?
yeah, and it goes to the whole like age-old argument of what's scarier, like if there's like a big backstory and a motive or anything, or if it's Michael Myers and it's just like this dude decided to kill people. I
Yeah,
dig it. Like I don't know.
it's fine.
It's just fine. Yeah.
I don't know. I was not like thrilled with the ending bit. Like, it
The
just seemed to.
very ending or like the climax?
Well, it just kind of goes on a little long, like because it's kind of established that these are people,
Yeah,
and then
okay.
there's like a really kind of ridiculous sequence that. Goes on a little bit too long
Okay.
for my taste.
I know what you're talking about, but I liked how it was shot. Like it just looked cool as fuck. Like this movie gets points for me for certain things, like that scene we were just talking about. Like you don't like it, but like I just think it looks cool. There's a pool scene that looks really fucking cool. Like you already said, there's a pretty cool like 80s soundtrack to it,
Yeah.
like with like original 80s songs in it. I kind of like the cast, like the family. They don't quite feel real, but I just liked all the individual actors enough.
Yeah, I think that the brother and sister, they kind of come off realistic. The mom and dad, Christina Hendricks,
Not great, yeah. Like,
she's
but
like
the brother and sister I liked.
I love Christina Hendricks, but she
Yeah.
is not particularly good in this film. But she's also not in it for very long.
Yeah, the dad too, not super great.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I like seeing Christina Hendricks in a movie regardless. And the kids, I think they, brother and sister, I think they're both pretty decent actors. I don't know, like it's just like you said. Like we both kind of said, it's just kind of down the middle, but for me, there's like these little things that I really dug about it. Like you said, a couple good scares, a couple of scenes that look really cool, a cool soundtrack that, like, to me, it's like a solid recommend to like a horror fan that wants to go see a movie like this at the theater. Like, if it's still out there, I'd say like absolutely go see it like at a matinee. Like, you're gonna have an okay time.
Yeah, for sure. If you're looking for a decent like little slasher, that's not gonna overstay its welcome, that this works.
It'll be done by the time, like, before you're done with your popcorn. That's for sure.
Yeah,
Like,
it's
it's
all
just it's
really short.
so quick. Like again. So for me, I'm only giving it a. I think I gave it like a 3.5 on Letterboxd. I'm gonna give it a 3 here, but like I said, it's a recommend for fans of the genre.
Sure. I'm also at a three, so.
Chris, you also got to see A Wrinkle in Time, which I did not get to see. This is probably old news at this point. What did you think?
It's another one that's just kind of okay. Which I, it's visually stunning. Like, I think it looks fantastic. I think it mostly, like, I don't know. I've read the book, so, and that's always an issue with these types of adaptations. They cut things out of the book that take away from the main character, in a way that kind of doesn't do the film any cert. Like, it does it a disservice. It makes some of what happens in it less special. And I'm being very vague here because I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, they spend a little too long on building stuff up, but also not long enough, if that makes any sense. Like, they spend time on stuff that's frivolous, but not building up the right aspects of the characters. And then the ending is very rushed. Like, so, they cut out a full sequence in the book, and it actually changes the dynamic of the relationship between Meg, the main character, and her dad, who is played by Chris Pine, and the small. Her brother, who she has to go rescue, Charles Wallace, he's kind of mischaracterized through the entire thing because he is kind of like this arrogant little, he's like 5 years old, but he's basically like a Mensa kid.
I heard he's very precocious.
Yeah. But in the book, he's like very arrogant. Like, he knows he's smarter than everybody else, so he thinks that he can do everything. And they never build that up here. So when there's a turn, it's like it doesn't pay off as well. So it just makes Meg have to go rescue him. But it's like, it just doesn't necessarily work. I feel that this probably would have been better, like, as maybe like a TV movie or something spread out over some time. Like, give it like maybe like a mini
HBO
series type
treatment.
thing. Yeah, not a full season's worth, but
Two
probably,
episode or
yeah, you could do like 2 or 3 episodes, like a special type thing where you could have just built it out a little more. It is a visually beautiful movie, though. They do some great things with visuals in this, and yeah, it's just kind of a disappointment that it doesn't all quite click, because it seems like Ava DuVernay, the director, and the entire cast was like fully behind it, but just doesn't necessarily work.
I highly recommend you go check out her previous film, 13th, on Netflix. It's one of the best documentaries I've seen in a long time. This movie, I have not seen it yet, and despite what you've said and what everyone says, I'm like, it just sounds like it's going to be one of those cinematic oddities, like where that you look back on years from now, like, what the fuck was that? which makes me really want to see it. And like you said, like I think just visually it fucking looks cool. So,
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if you take anything away from it, it's a cool looking film.
but like not necessarily like I don't know how to explain it. Like it's just weird, like
Yeah.
looking at visually to me. Like
It's not necessarily like technically marvelous. It's like very like fantastical and
yeah, like different. Like
yeah, like the
different but still like TV movie looking. Like I don't know, man. Like it's fucking weird.
in a way, sure. And it's funny, Oprah Winfrey plays one of
That's another odd thing.
the misses. But in the book, the character that she plays is the old wise Mrs. But she can't really take form, and they don't play up that at all. Like Oprah Winfrey is in this fucking movie, and she's in it a lot,
Yeah,
and
I heard.
she constantly is like changing her costumes and her eyebrows and her lipstick, and it gets a little distracting. My wife was like, "What the hell was going on with her?" Like, it's not that she gives a bad performance. She doesn't. She's perfectly fine. It's just really weird. And coming off of reading the book, like it's a weird take on that character. It's a strange little film. I enjoyed it enough. Like, I'm not like disappointed I saw it. It's just they do things to the book that don't quite pay off. And
Is that like what's the bigger thing to you? Like it just doesn't work as a movie, or is it the fact that they changed things like it didn't play out the way you want it to, or is it just kind of both? Like,
I think it's a mixture of both, right? Like it
yeah.
because they're I don't know if you go into this movie not having any knowledge of the source material, if you're gonna come out going that was any better. I still think that there's like
Like I might
mischaracterization.
have the same problems as you without even
Yeah.
no like without even having read the book. It doesn't matter. I'll be like, well, it could have been better because of this or that. And you'll
Yeah,
be
like
like, yeah, that's how it was in the book.
I think if you saw it, you're gonna end up being like, all right, well, they didn't really characterize this. They spent too much time on this. Like, there's a little bit of weird pacing. They go to I think it's called a Kalamazan, which is like this dark planet that's been taken over by this darkness. It's where her dad is, and they don't spend any time there. Like half of the book takes place there, and it feels really rushed. Like you get this iconic scene with the kids all bouncing the ball exactly the same way, but then in the book, like it explores that a whole lot more, and it explores the place where they end up going to save her dad a whole lot more. And that's not here. Like it's very rushed from that point on. So I think there's some pacing issues that regardless of whether you've read the book or not, you're going to be like, that was weird. Like there's some characterization issues or
I kind of heard that too. Yeah. So but again, everything like everyone said is like, okay, cool. I can't wait to see it.
yeah,
I don't
it
think I'm gonna get to see it in the theater, but I'll see it when it comes out. I don't know.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely give it a go.
And I heard it, there at least is like an earnestness to it, and like there are good things about it. It's
Yeah.
just flawed.
I'm gonna go with a three on it, so.
Okay. The final big thing that I really like wanted to make sure that we talked about this week is a new Netflix documentary series called Flint Town. Have you caught like trailers for this, Chris? Like,
I think I've caught like one.
because like what a lot like for like a week or two there, every time I open up Netflix, sometimes they'll do like a featured trailer like right as
Yeah,
you
like
open the
right
app.
at the top, yeah.
It kept popping up for me, and I was like, that looks interesting. Finally, it was just like when I couldn't figure out what I wanted to watch, I'm like, fuck it, I'll see what this Flint Town thing, like if it's, if it's actually good. I'm happy to report that I have an early contender for best documentary of the year. Like, it's fucking phenomenal. And I don't care that's a documentary series, I'm still gonna count it. It's 8 episodes. they range, some of them are an hour, some of them are like 35 minutes. So it's like there's not like a
Okay.
set length to the episode. And what this series follows is the Flint Police Department throughout the year of 2016. So, for it's like these documentary filmmakers like honed in on like whatever was the most important place to be in America at that time. They somehow were there making this documentary. So like Flint is in the middle. One, Flint is a city that's been in decline since the 80s, if not earlier than that. It was like the subject of Michael Moore's documentary, Roger and Me, his first film. It's basically a shithole now. It's like one of the worst cities in the United States, the highest crime rates, and you're following these cops for a year through 2016. And I don't know if you remember 2016. It was an interesting year.
Sure.
You had in the summertime, like the tension between police and citizens kind of reached a peak with, police violence and Black Lives Matter movement and all that. You had, and so like that plays into the story here with, you're following a group of cops, right, through this. You also have the 2016 election, which, it's a factor. It's like this thing that's constantly like growing in the background of this documentary. Like it's The documentary is not about the election, but it's like it looms in the background, and you know like how that part's gonna end, right? Like it's very interesting, like, and it does touch on Flint sometimes. So like Bernie Sanders comes to Flint at some point to do a campaign, or campaign stop. Donald Trump comes at some point. Donald Trump as a candidate kind of creates a rift between the cops and the police force. You have all these like different angles like that. It also does stop to talk to the citizens here and there, so it's not like completely one-sided. I've seen people on Twitter and stuff criticize the show for humanizing cops too much, and I disagree with that. Like, well, I guess I well. There is one cop here that they kind of ask you to have sympathy for, who right away I was like, this guy's a fucking asshole. Like in the first episode, I was like, this guy's an asshole. And you find out in like the second episode that he has already, like before they started filming, shot an unarmed citizen. So,
Oh, like that's not good.
it's one of those things where I'm like, the documentary doesn't tell you what to think. It's just showing you something. Like there's no commentary. There is a little bit of like the cops and stuff talking to the camera, like in a confessional setting, like just talking to the camera. But mostly, like I'd say 90% of this documentary is just following shit around. And oh my God, is it beautifully photographed? Like it's stunning looking. Like it looks better than most actual like regular movies, and yet here it was just people catching stuff as it happened. Beautiful looking fucking show, dude. Like, I'm not joking. I think that covers like most of the things I liked about it. But on top of like all these like big things that everyone, like these national stories that everyone knows about, and stuff that's even specific to them, like the water crisis, there's things in this documentary that you won't know about. And so, like, there are local to that, like, stories going on. Like, there's a new police chief, and it's his first year on the job, and he comes in as this tough law and order guy who's just gonna like really crack down on crime, and you get to see how that plays out. There is like this tax that the citizens pay, like this extra tax that the citizens pay, that keeps police force and a fire department in Flint at all, basically, and the citizens get to vote on whether they like get to keep paying that tax. in a city where they have like 98 cops to hunt, to cover, I think it's 100,000 people.
Wow.
So like there's people that like if they call the police when they're getting assaulted or something, the cops don't show up until like 4 hours later. And you know, these people are being asked to pay more money to a government that's not protecting them. Like there's all these angles on top of like the big national stories that you will remember from that year. So right. Like, not to like, I'm not trying to oversell it, but like this thing is just like a wonderful time. Like it's, I think the first great documentary about 2016. But on top of just also being its own specific thing about, you know, these cops trying to work in a very tough situation. And on top of that, just, I'm telling you, stunning looking fucking stuff. I can't recommend Flicktown enough. Like, it's not like it builds to some amazing climax or anything. It just feels like a year in these cops' lives, and at the end of it, you're like, I kind of want to see what happens next year. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm going to get a 5, though. I think it's excellent, excellent. Easy recommend on Netflix. Nice. So go check that out.
I added it to my my watch list. So.
I almost guarantee, like, within one episode, you'd be like, all right, I'll watch the next one. Like, I want to see what happens here next. Like, I'm not trying to oversell too much, but it's the best of, what Netflix has done recently,
nice.
I think. And I don't agree with that we can't hear, like, cops' perspective. And not all the cops think the way one cop does on that show. Like, there is one cop, like, I don't like him, but... And, you know, there's a couple cops, actually, I don't like on the show. But, again, I have no problem with watching their point of view and watching this crazy, really good-looking documentary about what they go through. Like, I can form my own opinion outside of it, so.
Right. And that's how it, like, it, you know, they present what happens and you can decide for yourself. And
yeah, like, I understand the view I'm getting is of a cop. Like, I understand it's a biased view. Anyways, yeah, I think it's a great show. And there's we have a whole bunch of other little things to touch on here, like just catch up stuff, really, rewatches.
Yeah.
Chris, you've got to finally see I, Tonya, which I sung its praises when I saw it on here. What did you think?
That movie is fantastic. yeah, I'm honestly like, I was really surprised that it was not nominated for Best Picture. Like, and I think we talked about it last episode, cause I had just seen Lady Bird as well. I think this is a better movie all around than Lady Bird.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it's just a fun movie. Like,
yeah.
Fun, like, movie telling a true story.
Yeah. And
true as it could get.
They do this thing where Margot Robbie like breaks the fourth wall as Tonya Harding a lot. Like, actually, her and her mom and the guy who plays Jeff Galuli as well. Like, they kind of just will like break and like turn to the camera and like just talk that way, which adds like this kind of like little quirk to it that you don't get in a lot of movies. Because it doesn't necessarily take itself super seriously, even though it's telling a true story, and one that's not necessarily very funny.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Tonya Harding is kind of a tragic figure, really.
It kind of walks that tightrope like perfectly, though, where it's like the stakes are as serious as can be, but it's like being funny about it. And yeah. In a way, like, that's part of, like, it kind of reminds me of, like, Fargo or something like that, where it's, like, a crime movie with, like, a very strong comedic edge to it, but it's, like, it's still about a crime, like, and still about, it's about real people, you know?
Yeah. And definitely for me, like, knowing, like, having grown up, like, and saw this stuff, like, live in a lot of cases, and saw the actions, like, and the investigation and her going to the Olympics under suspicion for this, like, it's like, you know, that adds an element to it for me. But I think even if you don't know that, you can come out of this going that this is really good. It's really well done. Margot Robbie's fantastic. Allison Janney's fantastic. You end up hating Allison Janney. Like, she's kind of she plays Tonya Harding's mom. She's a complete asshole. She is a super villain in this.
There are real moms out there like that, though. Like,
Yeah.
I've seen that shit. Like, just not really, never meant to be a mom. Like, honestly.
And it's I yeah, I was just like, yeah, this is really good. I really enjoyed it, so.
Margot Robbie, I wanted to win Best Actress. I can't even remember who won now.
Frances McDormand.
Oh yeah, and I mean that's an obvious win, right? But for me, Margot Robbie like blew me away. Like I never had thought of her as like a serious actress or anything before this. You know, she hadn't really been in that much that I could think of. Like Suicide, I didn't watch Suicide Squad and go, "Wow, look at fucking how good an actress she is!" Like she blew me away in this. I was just like, "Holy shit!" She's got real chops, you know. And it's such a like character piece about her too. Like she is, I think the big thing about that movie. What about for Allison Janney? Like, do you think her or Laurie Metcalf should have won? Because Laurie, I think Allison Janney did win it.
I don't know. I like Laurie Metcalf's character a whole lot better. She was like pretty much the only thing I enjoyed about Lady Bird. But Allison Janney is like, she is a super villain in this. Like really like evil and totally self-absorbed and in it for herself and what Tanya can give to her. So it's yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they both were fantastic, and I can definitely see why she won. So,
Yeah, if I was voting though, I would have voted for Laurie Metcalf just because I said like she just feels like a real, like more real mom. Like maybe it's or at least maybe a mom you want to be around
yeah,
personally.
she's like the mom that like you'd want,
But it's
as
like
opposed to this one. It's like, oh God, she's a nightmare.
it's just like Allison Janney. It's the same thing, I guess, kind of with the best actress category, which it's such a showy, flashy performance. That's the thing that like kind of turns me off about both of those a little bit, even though they're both great, you know. All right, moving along. We have a few more to get through. I saw Creep 2, Chris. Did you see Creep?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't seen Creep. Okay. Well, shit. This lengthens my review a bit. But for people who've seen Creep, did you like Creep? You'll probably like Creep 2. It's more of that, basically. Basically, I forgot which DePlace brother being a total weirdo that feels like a serial killer that would never actually exist in real life. Like it doesn't feel like something that's real, but like it doesn't matter because his performance is so fun and creepy that it's like fascinating to watch just for that. Like it's Mark DuPlass, by the way. So this is just more of that, and it's another like 80-minute horror movie done on no, zero budget, like kind of found footage style. So like the first one is like he hires this guy to make like to come film some stuff, and this guy comes out to the woods and meets this dude in the cabin, and he's really weird and awkward, and you don't know whether he's just like a weirdo or he's like actually a serial killer. You find out he's a serial killer by the end. And Creep 2 is kind of the same thing again, but he is like he hires this girl to come out and make a documentary, and when she gets there right at the beginning, he tells her that he's a serial killer. So like the difference is she knows he's a serial killer, and he's like, I want to make a documentary about like my life as a serial killer. So you're gonna make one of the most cutting edge documentaries ever. And she kind of goes along with it because she wants to be a YouTube star. It's kind of unbelievable. Like I never totally bought like her going along with this whole thing the whole time in Creep 2. But it's like, I don't know. I thought Creep 1 was like an interesting enough experiment and like successful enough at being a horror movie with like that you could have made with no money. Like if you had an iPhone, you could have made this movie basically, right? And they kind of pull that off here again. So I don't know. It's okay. It's short. It's like 80 minutes. I'd give this one three stars. I think I probably would have given the original the same.
Nice.
They're worth checking out though, Chris, if you haven't seen them.
I think I have the original on my watch list, so.
Yeah, they're both on Netflix, so it's worth it, dude. It's just Mark Duplass being like this ultimate fucking weirdo for 80 minutes. It's not bad.
Nice.
Chris, you watched The Last Jedi.
I did. I
How did you watch this?
rewatched.
Did you buy it digitally or what?
Yeah, I bought it digitally. I bought it digitally back when the movie came out in theaters. But yeah, it came out last Tuesday digitally. Watched it in 4K. It's very pretty. I mean, it's a pretty movie when you saw it in theaters. Every time I see that movie, and it's now the third or fourth time I've seen it. I enjoy it more and more. The Canto Bright scene does not bother me quite as much as it did.
The casino.
Yeah. Like the first time I saw it, I was like, this is terrible. The second time I was like, it's not good. It's fine. I don't love it, but it's
I remember hearing someone talking about it once, and they're like, dude, like these adventure movies like this, there's always like this side tangent adventure you go on for a little bit. And I'm like, it's kind of true, right? Like
Yeah.
I can't think of anything specifically off the top of my head, but it's like, yeah, a lot of like somewhat bloated adventure movies, like they have that little side adventure that happens in it. You know what I mean? Like it's not a huge deal. It's just, I think you over-examine it the first time you see it in the theater. You're like trying to like, all right, what's the problem with this?
Yeah,
That's an easy thing to pick out.
well, and I still think like if you look at like the situation that the resistance is in that movie, that this excursion is makes zero sense. Like it's like we are running out of fuel. We're gonna send two people out like to go find a fucking hacker. I like it. I think it's a really good film. That final action, like that whole thing that takes place on Crait, which is the salt planet, is
Yeah,
great. Like that,
fantastic.
yeah, that battle is great there. The
Just the look of that whole scene, like the white and red, like oh my
yeah, it's
God, it's so good
beautiful.
looking.
And then the final battle between Luke and Kylo Ren is pretty great. Like you. I watched it with somebody who had not seen it yet.
I know, like
And it's great to like see it's great to see their reaction to it. Because they don't pick up on things that you know are there. Like there's nothing that he dusts off his shoulder. There's when he sets his feet, like nothing moves, but when Kylo sets his feet,
Oh, really? That's
the salt
cool.
moves. Like there's things like that just like
So
stand out.
were you sitting there being that bad like passenger going, did you see that? Did you notice that? Pay attention
No,
to
it's just like I'm just like
that.
sitting there like looking at him like and then like he was a little like he was a little annoyed at some of the things that happened in it. Specifically when Luke gets blasted by all the shots from the AT-ATs. He's like, that's some bullshit that he just walked out of that. But then like he was on board with it. He's like, yeah, no, that was a cool way of handling that. Like he liked it. So
I'm like patiently waiting it to come out for rental so I can show my girlfriend because like I went to go see it with my buddy, but the thing is like I don't know what reaction I'm expecting out of her because she doesn't give a fuck about any of the ones I've showed her so far. She's just been like, yeah, it's okay, like The Force Awakens, that one was okay, I guess, like she's. But I keep thinking like somewhere it's gonna click or something, like because like I don't know, I think like these last two have been really awesome, so
Yeah.
kind of excited to show her. But
it's a really fun movie. Like the more I watch it, the more like I'm coming. I was already on board with it. I really liked it, but the more I'm really coming around to it, so.
yeah, I'm like me. Personally, like, I want to see it a second time. I have a feeling it's gonna be one of those movies I like more the second time. Chris, you got to see the new Jumanji movie, which I hear is amazing, like really fun. What did you think?
It's really fun.
Yeah.
It is the best video game movie ever made.
Wow, soon
Like
to
it,
be surpassed, but we'll see.
yeah, I mean it is a very much a video game movie. Like it's about a fake video game. It's about these four kids that get sucked into it. I don't remember the original Jumanji very well. I believe that was a board game. Robin Williams was in that or whatever, but in this one it's The Rock, Kevin Hart, Karen Gillan, and Jack Black, and they fall into this jungle island and are given like a quest right off the bat. And it's funny just the way that they're dealing with things. They end up meeting this guy and he keeps repeating the same lines over and over again. And The Rock, who plays the main character and kind of like the nerdy, dorky kid, he's like, "What? Well, it must be an NPC." Like, and then he like explains what an NPC is, and then like there's parts where it's like, "Oh, this must be a cutscene," like because like they're getting like a lot of exposition. And it's like it's really funny that they just kind of like spell out like some video game tropes that are happening, and they deal with it in such a way. Like they have lives. Like if they die, like they lose one of their lives. Like it's really well done. It's a ton of fun. I know you're not a Kevin Hart fan, but him and The Rock work really well together. And Jack Black, who plays a disembodied teenage girl, like the character the person that embodies him is a teenage girl back in the real world, and she's hysterical, or Jack Black is hysterical as that character. And Karen Gillan, like she's really she plays a Nebula in the Guardians movies, which you wouldn't really recognize her because she's blue in those movies, but she's really good here. I could see her like building some sort of like action movie repertoire here, so the cast is great. It's a fun film. Give it a go if you get a chance.
Yeah, I just moved it to the very top of my queue. So you sold me. What's your
Yeah,
score?
four.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
And finally, we have Pitch Perfect 3, which I know you have, I think, watched all these movies, and I have seen none of them.
Yeah,
I know it's like a singing type movie, like,
so
right?
it's Anna Kendrick and like a bunch of other people. They are part of an a cappella group. The first one is kind of like the first Pitch Perfect is very much like a standard sports movie, but just done with like a singing competition. Actually, the second one kind of is too. Think of it like as the Mighty Ducks and maybe the Mighty Ducks 2. This one's a weird fucking movie though, because they've all graduated from college. They're no longer competing as an a cappella group, and they're kind of like having these issues, like where they're not able, like they don't know what to do with their lives. So it's like this weird, like, oh, we're adults now. What are we doing? But it's also like they go on like this USO tour, and it's really fucking strange. Some of the stuff is funny, like Rebel Wilson plays a character called Fat Amy, and her dad is in this, played by John Lithgow, and he's like this sinister kind of millionaire type dude, and he's pretty funny, but something about it just doesn't work. Like I think the ending works really well, where it kind of like it's a nice send off to people who've watched all three.
We've gone through this, yeah.
Yeah, but like the songs aren't quite as good. The comedy isn't quite as good. It doesn't quite work as much as well as it does as it has in the past.
Like the Hangover 3. Well, I think
Yeah.
that was my actually it's
Hangover
kind of the
3 I think
same
was better
arc.
than 2, right? Like
Was it? Is that how it went?
I thought 2 was terrible, but
I see I
I
guess
could be
I don't
wrong.
even I don't, what the hell was 2?
2 was in Bangkok.
I thought 3 was in Bangkok.
Was 3 in Bangkok? What the hell was 2 then?
I think 2 is someone else is getting married. I don't know if they went to Vegas again. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a weird
That's
series
a
too, though,
blur.
right?
Yeah, but it's like I remember the trajectory of that being like 1 was great and then 2 was okay and then 3 was shit. But maybe I got it mixed up. Anyways, enough to
Yeah,
sidetrack us.
it's not. I mean, if you watch the Pitch Perfect movies, it's worth a watch, but it's not anywhere near as good as the other two. So,
I think we made it through all the movies, Chris, and basically, I think faster than we usually do one or two movies, so we did
yeah,
okay.
you did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I'm proud of us. Do you have anything planned for next week?
I'm still hoping to see Tomb Raider.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm hoping to get out to see it, and then I think Pacific Rim came out as well. That's not reviewing very well either.
It's like a 50% roughly.
Yeah, and Unsane came out or is coming out. That's the Steven Soderbergh movie. I like his movies, so
I'm here. I'm like hit or miss with him. I right now I'm gonna be totally honest and unashamed. Like I am super looking forward to Ready Player One. I know that a lot of people like hate the book or whatever the fuck. I think you read the book and you liked it. I don't care about any of that. All I know is I've seen trailers and I'm like, yeah, it's a bunch of references. I don't care. That looks like a fun ass movie.
yeah, it's the book's okay. I know there are people that hate it like outright,
Yeah.
just like you said. But I've been hearing some really good things
Dude,
about it, though.
book or no book, just like looking at the trailer to me, I'm like, yeah, great. It's referencing a bunch of stuff, but also it looks incredible. Like just like fun. It looks like Spielberg at his best. Like and like Spielberg inspired as opposed to Spielberg doing the fucking post. So I'm
Right.
just like I don't know. I'm excited. It's a new Spielberg movie that looks and feels like it's a Spielberg movie. So like that alone to me is like fuck yeah, I can't wait to see it. Like, and not that Spielberg hasn't done like more like straightforward dramas. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like this reminds me of like the stuff that like made you fall in love with him when you were a kid. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of like whimsy and fantasy
Yeah.
to this that
Yeah.
even if it is like a large reference to his career and the time frame of his career, like if it's a fun movie, like I'm down with it.
Yeah, that I don't think I'll be seeing that by next week. But I'm just saying like, that's the only thing like up ahead where I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to see that. I do have the film Stronger here, starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Is
Remember
that
that?
he loses his legs or he's paralyzed?
Yeah, it's based off of a real guy from the Boston Marathon bombing. There's been documentaries about it, and of course that movie Patriot's Day, about the
Right.
actual. But this is just about one guy like living through it or whatever. I'm mostly watching this so I can like try to understand why David Gordon Green is doing Halloween. Like I just and I don't like I'm looking at his filmography. I'm just like I don't get it. But I just want another look at like what David Gordon Green has to offer as a director, I guess. You know what I mean? Like and then in my head try to go, what the fuck is he gonna do for Halloween? So I have that here from Netflix. I'll be watching that soon.
Nice.
Other than that, maybe Jumanji. Maybe The Handmaid's Tale. I've been trying to get that on disc from Netflix. But yeah, who knows? It could be random. I don't think I'm not gonna go see Pacific Rim. I know that in the theater because I have not seen the first one. So
that's fair.
I'm a bad. Well, maybe I'll watch it now. Since guess what, this will wrap up the episode. But my girlfriend, you know, I kind of force movies on her. She's like, she'll watch the movie. She's whatever, but like, she's not like super into them. She loves Guillermo del Toro. Between Shape of Water and Pan's Labyrinth, she said Pan's Labyrinth is the best movie I've ever shown her.
Pacific Rim is definitely different than those two.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I've now turned her into a fan of a director. Like, do you remember, like, I can't even remember the first time I was a fan of a director. Like, it was so long ago, but, like,
right.
That's what I do now as a movie watcher. I'm like, I like that guy's movie, so I'll see his next movie. Speaking of which, have you seen the trailer for the new movie from the guy that did it Follows?
No.
Okay, the film's called Under the Silver Lake. Check it out, the trailer. It does not look like, it's not what you would expect. It doesn't look like a horror movie, really.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck it looks like. But yeah, that'll wrap it up. We'll be back with something next week. Thanks for listening, and go check out some of those movies.
Movie dudes! Do-do-do-do-do!